Because I think this kind of love is probably the most important thing that we can begin to understand if we begin to understand our identity. We're in this series called Identity Crisis, and one of the biggest things I think that we need to understand is God's love for us if we're going to understand our true identity or what it should be. So starting with the seventh verse, it says this, Beloved, 1 John chapter 4. It's in your bulletin. It's on the screen. Yeah. But if you have your Bible and you're going, that's awesome. That's awesome. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time, and if we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. We have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Now, it's so much repetition in this, because I think Paul's trying to get a point across that it's so important that we understand love, and then we understand what it means to love. So he goes on to say, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him. We've just heard that. And he in God. We've come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us. We heard that also. So that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment. The one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. So if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, then he's a liar, for the one who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, can't love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. So the first thing I want to tell you is that God's love defines who we are. So Max talked to you last week, or he made reference last week to America's identity crisis. We want to align ourselves with all of these different people groups, whether it's LGBTQ, whatever, or transgender, or whatever, or maybe you align yourself with being an alcoholic, or I don't know, whatever it is. But America, at least in this country, and it's really all over the world, we like to identify with something or somebody or a group of people. And a lot of the times it's because we are looking for acceptance, or we're looking for love. And we're looking for a love, not just any old love, because let's face it, any old love would do if that were the case. Well, we're looking for a love that stands out, even to the point that if we're persecuted for that love, big deal, right? We're championing those things that we're standing up for. So I want to say this to you. America has the right idea, but the wrong source, because it's God's love that defines who we are. Here's an example of God's love. Peter denies Jesus how many times? Okay, now Peter, before he denies Jesus, says, I would never, ever, 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 ever do that. But you know, as push comes to shove and as, you know, the pressure hits, he ends up denying Jesus three times. Now, if you were Peter, let me ask you this question. If you were Peter, would you live with happiness because you did that? Would you live with sadness because you did that? Would you live with guilt because you did that? Yeah. So Peter's living with guilt. And this has become who he is. He's become the guy that denied Jesus three times. The guy who said, I would go to the cross, I would go to the grave with you, ended up saying, I don't even know you. That's hard. That's hard to live with after a while. And so Peter has defined himself as the guy who denied his master three times. And so Jesus, after the resurrection, comes to him. And this is the scripture in John 21. It says, "So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' And he said to him, 'Yes, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Tend to my lambs,'" or in some translations, "feed my sheep." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Shepherd my sheep." And he said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Now Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And so he said to him, "Lord, you know all things, and you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Tend to my sheep." How many times did Jesus ask him? How many times did Peter deny him? So this is Jesus going, we're going to reconcile this right now. You're not going to be the man who denied me three times. You're now going to be the man who knows that you love me, right? You're going to be the man who's defined by my love for you. And because of that, guess what? I've got some things that I want you to do. And you're going to be what Peter is called, the what? Do you know? Well, he's called a shepherd, but then his name means, starts with an R, rock. Peter's name means rock. So he's become a rock. That's going to be his defining moment. I love you, and I know that you love me now. No longer, this denial thing is out of the question. You're no longer defined by that. Take away the guilt, take away the sorrow from it, take away the sadness from it, because that's not who you are anymore. You're the person who just told me three times that you love me. That's who you are. You're the person who's going to serve me. You're the person who's going to shepherd for me. You're the person who's going to do the things that I've called you to do. That's who you are. And so Peter needed that defining moment. We got to visit that place. It's along the Sea of Galilee. It was a peaceful place, and we all got a chance to, there's a whole bunch of bedrock. There's all kinds of little stones and stuff there along the shore. And they had us pick up these stones. And, you know, we did a prayer, and it was all about new beginnings. How many of you could use a new beginning? Yeah. I think a lot of us can use a new beginning, a fresh start or a reboot or whatever the case is. And so we picked up these stones, and I wish I would have brought mine in. But it was all about new beginnings, taking that next step and redefining who you are, not who you were, but who you are and who he wants you to be in him. And so we prayed, and we've got the stone, we kept the stones, but it was a peaceful place, it was a beautiful place, other than don't tell some of my family, other than that it had a Catholic church there. It was beautiful. I mean, it was just, it was a peaceful place. I can't describe it to you. It's the place that Jesus told them to go cast their net into the other side of the boat, and they picked up all these fish. You could sense the life. You could sense the peace. I mean, that part was amazing. But to understand that this is a defining moment, and each of us need that defining moment in our lives, that God's love is really what defines who we are. And if you want to be a part of a love that gets persecuted, this is the love that's going to get persecuted. This is the love that the world's going to hate because they hate Jesus, is what the Bible says. This is the love that you can stand up on a platform and go, "Hey, this is true love. This is what it's all about right here." And when they start to throw stones at you or hurl whatever insults at you, you can say, "You ain't got nothing on me." Talk about hate crime. That's the hate crime. You know what I'm saying? If you want to talk about a love that gets persecuted, this is the one. If you want to champion a love that nobody else wants to champion, this is the one to be a part of. Because the world doesn't like it. But guess what? This is the love that's victorious. And because God's love defines who you are, guess what you are also? You're victorious. And we need to be victorious in our life. We need to understand that victory. not only does God's love define us, but that love that we give others, so I told you I loved you in the beginning, that love that we give others should mirror that love that God has given us. So, going back to Peter, feed my sheep. I've forgiven you. I've given you love. You've now said that you love me, so go and do likewise. And we're called to go and do likewise. We're called to go and feed the sheep, right? We're called to go and love the way that God has given us the love so that people will see the true love, so that maybe they would be a part of that love that we need to be championing. Did anybody watch the Super Bowl? Did y'all see the New York Life Insurance commercial? So in the New York Life, I didn't put the video on, but they open up and they go, the ancient Greeks had four words. Did you see that commercial? Yeah, and they went through all of the Greek word. It was a really cool commercial. It was a really cool idea. But so how many of you know the Greek words? Everybody's got agape. Everybody's got eros. What else? Huh? Should know them. So there's philia or philos or however you want to say it, which means brotherly love. Yeah. There's storge. Storge means a familial love. It's like mother to child or father to child or whatever, that love that between a parent and a child or family member. There's eros, which we know what eros is, right? Don't make me explain that one. Then we have agape. What's agape? Unconditional. It's the God love. It's the one that we say that God has for us. So the Hebrew people have a little bit of a different idea about love, is that there's not four separate kinds of love, but there's only one love. Can't you remember the Bob Marley song, One Love? But there's only one love. Yeah. Anyway, that word is hava. Say hava. That, if you could relate it to any word of the Greeks, it would probably be agape. It's the one love that God has for us that we're to give to other people. Now, just because there's that one love doesn't mean it doesn't get manifested in different ways, right? So if I love you, I hope you don't receive that the same way that I love my mom or my wife, right? Definitely not my wife. I hope that you don't receive it in that same way, but you would receive it in that philios way, that brotherly, sisterly love. Same with you, Troy. You would receive that in that way. Maybe for my mom and I would love her the same love that God gives me, but it would manifest itself. It would present itself as storge. Am I making sense? It's not four separate kinds of love. It's all one love in just how it's received and how it's brought in. My mother would never say, you know, I don't love you as a son. She would never, I hope not. I mean, I think we're close enough to. So, but she would never just go, hey, you're just my friend, right? She would never say that. But it's the same love. It's that same love. And that's what we need to get in our heads too, that there's not different kinds of love. We don't go, oh, I'm going to love you like this, and then I'm going to love you like this, and then I'm going to love you like this. You might not get as much love as I gave somebody over here because kind of running thin a little bit, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to love you like this. It's not like that. We're called to love unconditionally no matter what. We're called to give that same kind of God love, that hava that he's given us unconditionally to people. And that's one love. Let's go back to the scripture, verse 7, excuse me. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is what? Love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. That was one of the things that kept repeating throughout that whole scripture. And then down to verse 19, we love because he first loved us. What kind of love are we going to give? Yeah, we're going to give that same love that he has given us. We're going to give that same love to each and every person in this room that he's given us. That's what we're called to do, is to have that unconditional love. How many of you, is he ready? Okay. How many of you, have been in a time of your life where you needed, we're not talking just desired, we're talking you needed to experience that unconditional love? Needed. It's like, I can't go on until I have that, unless I have that love. I can't go on unless I feel that from somebody. And sometimes, even in your darkest moments, right? Sometimes even in your darkest moments, to have that one person or that handful of people or whoever that show you that unconditional love, that love you no matter how rotten you are, they love you no matter how crazy you are, they love you no matter how dark or how devastated you are, and then that love tends to sort of pull you through. Maybe step by step, maybe little by little, but that unconditional love tends to pull you through, because that love begins to seep into you and that love begins to define who you are. That's God's love. Okay? God's love is what defines you. Not no other love, no other love that the world wants to give that isn't of him. God's love is what defines you. And we are to give that same love. I want you to watch this. We'll call it a skit. But I want you to see this. And I hope that you experience the kind of love that this shows.
Don't bother, they're here. Strengthen your heart with His grace. when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus. And when I
love obviously trumps all, because even your word says that love covers a multitude of sin, that we should love one another. It's the theme throughout your whole word. Even the greatest commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might, and then love your neighbor as yourself. The greatest commandment is love. I pray that each of us would receive it and give it also. Thank you for your word, thank you for your son, and thank you for your love, and I pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.